Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at how to create your own real estate cash machine. My guest in this episode is Alan Schnurr. Alan is a commercial real estate pioneer focusing on acquisition, improvement, repositioning, and management of commercial investment properties. A singular leader who turns vision into results, Alan's overriding mission is to change the way people buy real estate, create cash flow, and trust their entrepreneurial drive to obtain true financial freedom. If you've not checked out my other podcast, Cashflow Investing Secrets, I would highly recommend you check it out. It's a shorter show, 10 minutes or less, where I share one concept and or idea at a time that I've learned from interviewing over 500 Cashflow Ninjas. You can listen to the show on your favorite podcast, video, and live streaming platform. We also have an investment group and community for accredited investors. If you're interested to join the group, please visit CashflowNinjaInvestorsNetwork.com. That's CashflowNinjaInvestorsNetwork.com. You can also stay up to date with everything happening around Cashflow Ninja and within our community by joining our Cashflow Ninja Community Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in Cashflow Ninja Community. My friend Brian Page has created a cashflow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about joining you today.
Yeah, super excited to have you on. Love some of the content that you've put out and some of the messages that you've shared in your book. By the way, the cash flow mindset is, you know, what a good fit for the cash flow ninja. So happy to have you on. Just for my listeners, can you share a little bit about your background and journey?
Yeah, sure. We'll start off with my journey where I really started making some cash flow changes in my life. I found myself in corporate America, and I found myself working on the 101st floor of the World Trade Center. And on September 10th, 2001, 40 of us were scheduled to take a business trip, and the software wasn't ready on time. And I was the only one that left the building that day in my group. And I woke up 12 hours later, and I'm sure we all know what happened. And I can tell you that everyone on my team, unfortunately, perished, along with 700 other employees out of 1,000 in the company that I worked for. And it really changed my life. I was in Portland. I was away from my family. I was away from everything. The world stopped. And I was making a very nice living, but that stopped too. And I really just took a good look at my life. I got, you know, sick and tired of getting sick and tired and working for other people. And I wanted to spend a little more time branding myself, building my own businesses. And that's really how I got involved in real estate. I just got out there and I started buying all the courses. I actually did everything I bought, and I ended up buying a few hundred houses over a 10-year period. And then, like most of us, I parlayed into apartment buildings, and I picked up 18 apartment buildings over a 5-year period. And it's a lot of work. You know, it sounds like a lot of money. It's not always a lot of money working in the housing industry. And I was looking for a better way. And I know we're about to start talking about that. And for me, the better way was storage, warehouse, and triple net leasing of retail shopping centers. And what can I say? I'm also quite the contrarian. I like to buy low, sell high. And right now, by far, the greatest opportunity is in commercial real estate, in shopping centers and triple net leasing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, I just got chills like when you told that story.
I go through it so quickly because now, you know, but it did. It changed my life. I went through a dark period. I got better. I still reach out to some of the parents that lost their children that I worked with. And, you know, and of course, I'm always thankful for all the armed forces or all the people that helped out. And I always found this new respect for police and firemen. And I'm a New Yorker. I live in Texas. And this situation will always be part of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about mindset a little bit, because even in your book, sure. you break down a couple of mindsets. Can you comment? And you've got a couple of chapters on a millionaire mindset, a billionaire mindset, a zillionaire mindset, and then also cash flow mindset. Can you comment on each of those?
Yeah, sure. So in my book, by the way, you can find it on Amazon. You could also, if you don't read, I read it, and it's on audible.com. But, you know, it was an idea that really kind of came to fruition when I was by myself that week in the hotel room, which was, you got to find something you really like and love and enjoy. And you know, for me, that's the millionaire mindset. Once you find something like that, it becomes more of the billionaire mindset when you take it to the next level and, you start practicing, you scale up, you put your systems, your processes, maybe your management teams and, you know, all your professionals, you put all that together. And, once you pass the millionaire mindset and the billionaire mindset, well, now you're in the zillionaire mindset. And that's, I think we can all agree, because I know you have a high class, of listeners here. The zillionaire mindset to me is if you got to love what you're doing or sooner or later, you're going to walk away from it. So you got to make sure you really love it. And, I have a passion for cash flow and real estate and really all types of business. Cause I have a good dozen different businesses, but, you know, it's so great. You know, you buy something for $1, it's worth $2 and it cash flows, right? It's that simple. Yep. So people make it so difficult when it doesn't need to be.
Yep. Absolutely. And of course, through the cash flow mindset and cash flow, that's where, you know, you stop trading your time for money. Right.
And I actually, so I spent 20 years in the commodity business. One of the reasons I had to walk away, I was at one point I was making a lot of money. And as the cash flows started to build up from the real estate holdings, I started to scratch my head and say, you know what? Set it and forget it. It only takes 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. And, you know, maybe I'm getting $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 of cash flow from the real estate. And it only takes 5, 10, 15 minutes, like I just said, as opposed to, you know, maybe you're making $100,000 a month, just pulling that number out of thin air, but it's 80 hours a week. You know, you sooner or later, you got to ask yourself in life, what do you really want? Do you want to keep making that $100,000 a month, 80 hours a week? Or do you see the writing on the wall, the cash flow and the opportunity and the financial freedom that this cash flow allows you to have? And most importantly, the self-development and time to just think, you know, so I had to take a huge step back, but, what do they say? Well, you know, 2 steps back, 1 foot, 1 step forward. It all worked out fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And having a plan for that, and you started, I mean, again, single family, went into multifamily, and now again, going against the grain, lot of people, and let's talk about this for a second, because I think my listeners are going to find this very, very interesting. So a lot of people are talking about retail, right? And online sales and e-commerce and, you know, how a lot of retail shopping centers are a thing of the past. But you've taken the approach and said, there's a lot of things here to make a case for it that's not the case, you know?
What we specialize at Great Partners, we are going after your neighborhood center. Not so small anymore, though I did buy a dozen or two small shopping centers but we'd like a nice 100,000 square foot shopping center with some major anchors. Now, I'm talking about like internet proof, if I can use that term. Like, you know, like maybe TJ Maxx is one of my tenants. All right. Yeah. TJ Maxx, there's 4,000 of them in the United States on four different continents. In bad times, they're discounters, right? They do great. They're buying all their stuff from the malls. Well, the malls are all selling all their stuff to them, like Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue. Or and in good times, they do even better because people still love to go to discounters. So I like to buy a shopping center that has a discounter in it, that has you know, maybe an optometrist, a chiropractor, has a Subway sandwich. You can't order this stuff on Amazon. I like to go after, you know, kind of, you know, quick service restaurants. We look for shopping centers that have like 30, 40, 50, even up to a quarter million cars a day passing. It's irreplaceable real estate in an important part of the town, in the center of the town, or right by the hard corner by the highway. So, you know, as retail did fall out of favor over the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's not so out of favor anymore. Matter of fact, the numbers are just racing back to the top. No doubt multifamily, and I love multifamily housing, it's right on top. But you know, all the stuff I see right now in multifamily, matter of fact, I just sold an apartment building at a 4.5 cap. So, you know, someone's borrowing money at 4% and they're buying a 4.5 cap. There's not a lot of spread there to make a lot of money. And I can tell you right now, I just bought 200,000 square feet, around $25 million worth of shopping centers over the last 90 days. And both of those deals are approximately an 8.5 cap, you know, an 8.5 cap. And we're borrowing money for less than 4%. So we're looking for these spreads of, you know, between the money and the money, you know, possibly collected from the rents alone. And there's other benefits of buying the retail too. A lot of these tenants have very good credit. I mean, it's a way of, I'm coming from multifamily where, you know, I might have a 160 unit apartment building and, you know, what can I say? You got Fred in the shed who cuts grass. I'm waiting for him to pay his rent versus, you know, I get a Starbucks paying me rent, a Whataburger paying me rent, an Enterprise car rental, an AT&T, you know, your neighborhood restaurant. And for me, as a syndicator, and I think a lot of your listeners are syndicators, it's more dependable income for me, and it's more importantly, dependable income for my investors that invest with me. So credibility, credit worthiness is important to me, and so is a good 5-year lease or 10-year lease. A lot of these retailers will sign 5-10-year leases as opposed to in the housing, right? We all know it's 6-12 month leases, and people are moving every year.
Yep. Let's touch on the trends too, because you said something very interesting there, that there's internet-proof businesses. And the statistics that I'm seeing too, because a lot of people are thinking, man, the internet has just taken over, but it's, what is it, less than 10% of sales is still done online? So the majority of sales are still being done offline and in brick and mortar stores, right?
Right. I mean, that is a fact. And I'll just add to that right away. One of the biggest buyers of brick and mortar right now is Amazon. I mean, they've recently purchased Whole Foods. And you see a lot of online retailers right now. They're quite not sure what direction to take next to generate more sales. So they're opening up brick and mortar. And again, I mean, I'm not in the apparel business. I'm not renting to Best Buy or, you know, companies. I mean, these are restaurants. These are movie theaters. These are, you know, entertainment centers. I mean, you've seen, you know, a lot of people, there's the old way of doing business and there's a new way. I mean, there was an old way of listening to music with records and tapes and cassettes, right?
Right.
And now we use our iPhone and we download and we stream, but the music business is thriving more than ever. So in a way, you know, all these changes are just creating lots of opportunity. More importantly, lots more revenue. I mean, I'm just kind of looking outside right now and I'm thinking of Uber Eats.
Yeah.
I mean, Uber Eats is going to go over to my local taqueria and pick up tacos for me. So, you know, I wouldn't get in my car necessarily and buy those tacos, but Uber Eats will. So,
yeah.
You listen, we're contrarian. We're looking for a good opportunity. We're looking, I mean, to get a spread of it, like 4 points on a cap rate versus the money you can borrow, it's almost a no-brainer. If I say, look, would you rather get a rent check every month from Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, and a dry cleaners, or, you know, versus, you know, three tenants, you know, paying you $600 to $800, you know? So I have a feeling, we have a joke in my office. This retail business is kind of like an old man's game, because it seems like we only figure this out at the end of our life, these triple net leases where you know, Starbucks, for example, they're one of my tenants. And if something breaks, they're going to pay for it. If, you know, we had lots of rain here in Houston occasionally, and there's flooding. So if their store floods, they're going to pay for it. And the insurance policy goes up. They're going to pay for it. And of course, taxes are out of control right now all over, because we're living in great times. Yep. So property taxes are going up left and right. And again, that's a pass through to my tenants. And I'll leave you with another thought. Property management expenses. I mean, in housing, at the end, you know, in the apartment business, for sure, and you're going to pay your property management company 3 to 5% of the gross collections. And that's going to come out of your pocket, the owner, the bottom line. But in the triple net lease business, we bill that back to the tenant, the property management fees as well.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And we're going to jump into that. I think a lot of folks might not be familiar, because we've got listeners that are just starting on their journey. We've got folks that that are very well versed and they know of this. So there might be some new listeners of ours that's not familiar with triple net leases. So we'll get into that. Two comments. Sure. One thing that was interesting for me to see is that a lot of, you mentioned the taco place, right? That'll, you know, Uber Eats will swing by and pick up the taco, and there's a couple of other sandwich places and so forth. It's even with, there's certain shoe brands where you would buy, or even stores where you would buy online, but the fulfillment is still in that store, in that area. So yes, there's large fulfillment centers, and it's a huge business, and Amazon, and I get all of that. But on a smaller scale, that was interesting to me too, where if somebody orders a shoe online, for example, from a certain place, it comes out of a physical store in that local area.
And you know what? You're exactly right. The stores have come fighting back too. They didn't just throw in the towel and say life's over, everything's going online. There's plenty of ways how you can order your products online and literally drive over, and they're waiting for you to go, right? To ready. And so even the shopping malls, like even the bigger stores that I don't rent to, but I was in Macy's the other day, and there was an internet pickup area in Macy's. Is that interesting?
You're listening to the Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
MC Lobshire, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for higher yield returns from ATM machines and self storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their ATM and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor. You're listening to the Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. Yeah, that's very, very interesting. And the other thing that I would also say is, and now I'm, and now we're going back almost 20 years. What is it? 2002, 2003. This young kid from South Africa heard that, you know, I think it was Target or it was another company. They actually have real estate divisions doing all these market research to figure out what is a great location to put like a Target or a Starbucks. I'm sure these guys all have them. So you've got a lot of folks running a ton of data. So you know, like you mentioned, Starbucks is one of your tenants. You know, if Starbucks is opening a location, for example, in a certain area, there's due diligence, there's data.
Sure.
Is enough to support that store to make sure it's successful, which when you're the owner of the real estate that that business is in, it gives you a lot of confidence too, because you're dealing with folks that have done their homework and research, and they have, it's a large corporation too, so those rents are kind of guaranteed and backed in that sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, so they're not only they're corporately guaranteed by Starbucks, but also like add to that, which is kind of interesting. You know, like when we get involved in multifamily, where everybody's looking for cap rate compression, right? You buy maybe a multifamily complex at a 6 cap, and your goal is to squeeze that down to a 5 cap so you can really capture that equity on that multiple and make your partners happy, right?
Yes.
So even on so it's really about repositioning and creating equity. And we do that in the retail business as well. I mean, you can take like a C-class shopping center and maybe you bring in an AT&T. So you start changing. AT&T says, you know what, we need to be in that area. It's not the most desirable.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when an AT&T comes or a T-Mobile comes or a Starbucks comes, you start creating a compression on the cap rate. So maybe you bought the shopping center at 8 cap. And it had all these mom and pops in it. And you had 3 vacancies. And before you know it, you've just rented one spot out to AT&T, another spot out to a Taco Del Mar, and the third spot out to, a Subway.
Yeah.
Totally possible. And you've just created all this massive value, because really what you did, you've protected the income stream more. You've brought in a better creditworthiest parties. So, you know, I guess where I'm really going with this is another way of repositioning in our shopping centers. We're always looking to increase the NOI, but we also create value by bringing in better names like a Starbucks, because you are right. They do the market research. They know where they want to be. They see a trend happening. And us as the real estate investors get to capture on that. You know, we get in there and, get those tenants and maybe flip out of the property, take some money off the table.
Absolutely. Well, you've said taco 3 times, so I'm getting hungry on this side. Just kidding. But let's talk about triple net leases for a second. If you can explain just what that is and how that works for some of our listeners that are starting on their journey.
Okay. All right. So, you know, starting on our journey, it's, brings me back to days where I was buying houses and apartment buildings. And the first thing about a triple net lease is if the insurance goes up, I'll say it this way, insurance policies, your tenants will pay for those policies in the triple net lease. So I really like that, because we've seen policies like go up 50% around here for weather reasons in Houston over the last 2 or 3 years. So when that happens, it's okay. I mean, I don't want to put my tenants out of business, but that's the cost of doing business. So they cover the cost of, the insurance policies, and they also cover the cost of taxes. Because taxes are a lagger. So let's say your taxes go up 50%, which we're seeing in multifamily right now. It's really hard to go back to the tenant and say, Mr. Tenant, I know we signed the lease at $800, but my taxes just went up 50%. Can you now pay me $900? It doesn't work that way. But in the triple net leasing market, in retail shopping centers, it does. We agree on a budget, and if the budget is under and the taxes went up, well, I just send the bill to the tenant. And since it's not where they sleep, if there was any kind of discrepancy and disagreement, I literally can lock them out in 24 hours. Another reason why I like retail. So, yeah. But they don't. So they will pay for the increases in the taxes. They'll pay for the increases in the insurance. And my favorite is, you know, they'll basically, we call it CAMs, common area maintenance issues.
Yep.
They're really irresponsible for fixing all their stuff. I mean, a window breaks, right? A window breaks, you own a house or a multi, you know, or apartment unit, we know you're fixing it, the owner. Their window breaks in their storefront, they're fixing it. It's almost like a leased car, you know, they're responsible for it. So, at the end of the day, and what works so well in my life, working with this asset class is it's scalable, and I really want to scale. I want to get big, and I don't want to be buried in expenses and going through P&L all the time, because there aren't so much expenses compared to the other asset classes, because it's the tenant's expense. It's not my expense. So as like in the housing industry, for every dollar that comes in, very common to see 50 to 75 cents go out just on expenses. But yeah, in this triple net lease business, for every dollar that comes in, I'm telling you, we probably keep around 95 cents. 5 cents goes out, which makes, you know, again, so it frees up my time to go look for properties, do the things we like to do, experience the financial freedom, appreciate the cash flow, and travel the world.
There you go. Sounds yeah, like a plan.
Yeah.
The other question I had is markets. What type of markets are you guys in? What type of markets would you advise for folks, obviously, to stay away from, especially if you're looking at retail, because it's a little bit of a different game, obviously. But there's a lot of similarities with multifamily.
Okay, so the markets, I mean, I've been in all sorts of markets. Right now, you know, we're all asking ourselves the question, you know, is this bull run over in the real estate markets? Are we looking for a correction? Are we not looking for a correction? For me, I ignore all the noise, and my strategy has been, I like to go into, I love the Latino markets here in Houston. It's also the fastest growing group in the United States. I like to spend around $75 to $125 a square foot. And what that really means is I'm buying product that was built between like 1980 and 2000. So it's your class C, your class B. I like to get in there and do the value add, buy some vacancy. Because in this retail business, let's just say you had 6 shops in one strip, and 3 were vacant and 3 weren't. Well, if it's trading on a true NOI number, which it should, you're buying something 50 cents on the dollar. So I love to buy stuff 50 cents on the dollar. So when I buy the bigger shopping centers, the class B, the class C, I look for a good 10, 20, 30% vacancy, because I'm getting a discount. I'm going to get paid for the value that I create when I find these new tenants. I'm going to bring in good names. And, I mean, what can I say? It's just building value. And another strategy we love to use in the retail shopping markets is the out parcel strategy. Maybe you got a huge parking lot. You know, you got an outdated piece of real estate. It was built in 1980. And the main part of the shopping center is built back off of the street. And you have this huge, huge parking lot. And maybe you get in there and you put up an out parcel. And like we just did this recently with Krispy Kreme Donuts. I took a useless piece of my parking lot, and I did a 20-year land lease with them. And they come in at their expense, and they build their own structure, and it's a land lease. So I own the land, they own the structure. As long as everybody plays by the rules, everything's great. If for some reason they didn't pay their rent, well, it looks like we're going into the donut business. If I could take you through a financial example, and it's really a good example of creating nothing from something. So we just carved off a piece of the parking lot, and they pay us $8,000 a month All right. $8,000 a month times 12 months is what, $96,000 a year, which is great. You know, think about it. I don't have to fix anything. Nothing. It's all theirs. They're just renting my parking lot in essence from me. So $96,000. I told you we don't, you know, call it an 8 cap, you know, just for simple math. If you do that math, you'll see that equals $1.2 million in value that we just created something from nothing.
Yep.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And so we do that, you know, we you know, if we buy a piece of property, it's set back from the road. We put a few of those pads out there and we call them quick service restaurants, QSRs for short. And again, internet proof, right? I mean, Subway's not going away, and then Krispy Kremes aren't going away, and the Dunkin' Donuts aren't going away, and the McDonald's and the Chick-fil-A's and the Little Caesars and the you know, all my tenants.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. What are some of the risks that folks have to look out for with triple net leases?
So some of the risks you really do have to look out for, good question, is the money's really in the lease in this business. It's all about the lease. So for sure, you need to work with your attorneys. And I know this might all sound a little overwhelming for people that aren't familiar with this business, but like anything, if you just take it apart one piece at a time, you can definitely figure it out. So the leases, they have to really be summarized. You need to take them apart. You need to look for the I gotchas. Sometimes there's co-tenancy issues. So for example, let's just say, I don't know who recently went out of business. Like, I don't know. Let's just say you have a grocery store, like a 45,000 square foot anchored grocery store. Here we have Kroger's in Houston, and that's pretty popular, right? Brings in a lot of people, a lot of traffic, good for the shopping center. And then let's just say a Plato's Closet moves in next door, which is another national name that has a few hundred stores within the United States. In their lease, they have a co-tenancy clause that says, look, thank you for the opportunity, but if Kroger's leaves, our rent goes down 50%, and you have 6 months to go get another grocer, or we can leave too.
Yeah.
So co-tenancy issues are something someone should look for. Caps, you know, sometimes some of these larger anchors will say, look, we understand you can name your price for management and you can name your price for repairs on the parking lot, but this is who we are. We're like we're the big gorilla on the block, and we're not paying for your management. So kind of like little sticklers where they try to control the common area maintenance costs and they can. They're traffic drivers. You know, sometimes you have to say, I'm going to make more of my money on the mom and pop shops, like the sandwich shops and the doctors and the chiropractors, and not so much money on having, 45,000 square foot grocer. I mean, for me, I would see we're renting out space $6 to $8 to some of these grocers, which is just like 50, 60 cents a square foot each month compared to a cosmetic dentist that might be paying like $30 a year, which would be around $2.50 a square foot. So those are some of the trade-offs. You got to get a good mix of tenants. And of course, you know, location is important. We really look for car count. Like I said earlier, 30, 40, 50,000 cars a day minimum for us. Demographics or household incomes are important, depending on the type of product you're going after. For us at Great Partners, we're looking for really around $40,000, $50,000 to $80,000 a year household income. And you know, another interesting we're in the washateria business too, and
yeah.
It's quite the formula, because you know, I said like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year household income. Clearly, we don't want to open up a washateria next to a high net worth neighborhood, because they will have their own washers and dryers in their houses.
Yeah.
But also, being in our own businesses and having our own franchises, it's kind of like a double dipping, or you know, we're just kind of win-win situation. We take our own business that makes its own profit, and we take a vacant spot in our own real estate and we sign a lease. And by doing so, you're literally raising the value. I mean, depending on this, we just did one for 5,000 square feet. I'm going to go through the numbers at $1 a square foot. So makes sense. $5,000 a month rent. Washateria pays $60,000 a year. And then I got to add in a few more expenses. And before you know it, I'm at $75,000 a year going to the asset out of my business. And if you divide that by 0.08, to say an ACAP, you're going to see that it's almost $1 million that we just created for the asset. You know, yeah. We expect our business there to make 20 to 30% ROI. But so win-win, right? Just kind of filling up our own spots. And, you know, maybe you sell the shopping center and realize that $1 million that you created by putting your own business in there. Or maybe you sell the business and keep the shopping center, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Now, you've had a lot of success, Alan, and in your personal life and in business. What are some of the things that you're doing in both areas that's working, and why do they work?
I take a lot of time for myself in the morning. I take it slow. I wake up super early, probably between 4 and 5 a.m. every morning. Definitely have my meditation routine. I got my prayer routine. I got stretching and rolling and foam rolling. I love it. And I do a lot of, I lift weights. I wouldn't say I'm a weightlifter, but I try to stay in really good shape. Walk, jog, run. Me and some of my real estate buddies, we have a little adventure group called 10X Adventure, and we're hiking the 7 summits of the world. So I like to take a physical goal and match it up with a financial goal, and I love to see when they come together. A bunch of us just got back from Russia.
Yeah.
And we climbed a mountain called Mount Elbrus, and the whole time, it's great. We're masterminding, we're talking about real estate. We're really doing transactions from our phone, and we're conquering the mountain together. And I know you said Africa, I did Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, the same kind of, you know, with a bunch of friends and, you know, working, having fun. Finding a balance in life is so important, and so is taking action, you know. So it really depends on what you want, and once you figure it out, you got to go for it. We've only got one time here, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one habit I've observed from very wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying new things and learning new things. What are you currently studying and learning?
What am I studying and learning right now? That is a great question. We said Washateria, so I'm like, I mean, it sounds silly, right? I mean, I've bought around a few hundred million dollars worth of real estate, and I'm talking about Washateria, but I like to really jump into something, and I like to read all the trade magazines. So I'm studying how do I take 2 washateras and turn them into 100? So now I find myself studying like the service industry and looking for new ideas and reading the trade magazines, going to the seminars and buying all the books and all the, you know, so just pick a subject. And for me right now, it's washateras.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on 3 principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Just right away, like honesty, integrity, and you got to take action. Those were the first 3 thoughts off the top of my mind. If I didn't have any money, if I was giving advice to somebody, I would just tell them to slow down, think about what you're doing, just be an honest person, and do what you say you're going to do, and make sure you do it.
Yep, absolutely. And then where can my folks and our audience learn more about you? Where can they follow you, and where can they stay informed of all the projects you're involved with?
Yeah, that'd be great. Listen, we always have deals in the pipeline. We're always looking for new partners. And like I say, you want to learn a business, there's no better way of learning a business than investing in the business. So So they can find me at greatpartners.com, which is gr8.com, greatpartners.com, gr8partners.com. And I have a lot of real estate information on buying and selling and videos over at my website as well, alanschnurr.com, A-L-A-N-S-C-H-N-U-R, alanschnurr.com. And you know what? I always give out my phone number, which is 713-503-5908. Have a question? Give me a call. Send me a text. Get back to everybody. So I'm an open book. Love talking about business, real estate, life, mind hacks, good ideas, vacations, adventures, you name it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and your journey with my listeners and just providing so much value. This has been a blast.
I had a good time too.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.